Hello and welcome to Truth for Today with Terry Fant. And yes, I'm your host, Terry Fant. In a world full of confusion that leads to chaos, the answer for clarity is the absolute truth of God's Word. It has stood the test of time. I hope you'll listen to this message with an open heart and that God would speak to you one-on-one through it. If you're ever in the Florence, Mississippi area, then we would love for you to join us for live worship. Please feel free to reach out to me at terryfant@icloud.com. May the Lord bless you as He draws, shapes, and instructs you. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Amen. Aren't you glad you gave Him tonight to praise the Lord? I feel better already. I don't know about y'all. I feel better already. No, y'all don't? All right, I do. I'm messing with you. Proverbs chapter 1. If you have your Bible, join me in Proverb number 1, the very first proverb, all right? Let me just sort of look at y'all, see how you're doing. Some of y'all upset because you don't have your toes in the sand? Let me look at you. All right. No, you look happy. And isn't it interesting, this many people, middle of spring break week, make the commitment to say, I want to go out and I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord. I want to go to a place where I can be fed by the Word and praise Him and be used by Him. And so it never ceases to blow my mind, this many of us show up out here in the middle of nowhere. So I want to just say, you don't know what it does to my heart to see you guys keep coming so faithfully, and especially at midweek, man, it really blesses my soul. So thank y'all. Thank you for your hunger and desire to grow in your relationship with the Lord. If you have your Bible, again, Proverb number 1. Proverb number 1. And we're going to look at the second half, okay? And so we'll pick up in verse number 20, and we're going to cover verse 20 on down through verse number 33. Okay, that'd be good with you guys? All right, 20 to 33. You know we're going to vote on it, so you know, you just might as well say yes, and we're going to dive in, right? And so let's do that. The title of the message is simply one word, and that is the word wisdom. Any of you ever lack wisdom? Any of you ever made a move that you said was foolish? Anybody besides me, you've done that? Isn't it terrible when someone has offered you wisdom, and you have rejected that wisdom, and you decided that you knew better, and I'm speaking from my personal experience, and you went ahead and did the thing, and man, it hurts almost worse, doesn't it? When you knew that there was a better way, and you knew that when they told you the better way, you rejected it, and man, the worst way is a very difficult thing. So tonight, I'm going to ask if everybody got a copy of our printed prayer list. If you did not, will you hold your hand up? We'll make sure you get one. Miss Linda needs one right here. We got a few right here in the center. Hold your hand up just for a second. They're all around. Miss Terry and Val need one over there, and they'll come around and get you one. Need some over here in this far left section. If y'all just hold your hand up, we're coming in the door right now with them. Here they come. They're coming around behind you. And so tonight we're going to look at a message entitled Wisdom. And you know, we'll probably be out of here early. Right? Yeah, we're going to be out of here early. And what I mean by that is early. It won't be midnight, so it's going to be good. Proverbs number 1, verse 20, and on down to verse 33. We still have Jeffney's one right there. And I think that's about, we got a few down front. Right here in the middle. Michelle's coming right at you there. Jeff, look behind you. It's coming up behind you. All right. Anybody else need one? That's kind of fun, isn't it? Sort of like, reminds me of whack-a-mole when we're doing that. Hands going up and people moving all around. And I'm so thankful for our greeting team. They're so wonderful to make you feel comfortable, but also make sure you have what you need as we dive in tonight. So what I want to do without further ado, I invite you to stand to your feet tonight in honor of reading God's Word. And I'm going to give you a little background while you're standing, because I knew you needed to stand up. You'd be getting comfortable, all right? And so if you'll notice, my voice is going to be cracking a little bit. That's all right. You pray for that. Some of the seasonal allergy stuff kind of make that thing go in and out. So you stay locked in and listen as hard as you can tonight, okay? And so here we go, Proverbs. Now, wisdom writings. I'm going to throw some words at you tonight just to help you in your own biblical studies, the time that you spend in the Word of God on your own. And the genre. Now, there's a word that we all use today, right? Now, that is the style of literature. The style of literature that is recorded from Genesis to Revelation are different. There are some that are books of the law, right? The Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Some that are poetry. Some are wisdom writings. Some are epistles. What is that? It's simply a letter written to. A lot of the New Testament epistles, letters written to either pastors like 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, or churches, right? Like Ephesus and different ones. And so tonight we're going to be looking at a genre called wisdom writings. Now, the reason that I'm telling you that is that you need to understand something about wisdom writings. They are not necessarily promises from God. They're principles. Does that make sense to you? Some of y'all are looking like, wait a minute now, I thought all the Word of God was promises. It's not all promises of God. Some of it's recorded narrative. It's all kind of things in the Word of God. So wisdom writings. Now, what is the difference? Well, if God makes you a promise, friend, let me tell you something. You can absolutely bank on it. There'll never be something that happens in opposition or opposite of what God promises, okay? Now, on the other hand, principles are what we'll call most of the time, if you will. Let's just say that if you do this smart thing, that 9 times out of 10, it's gonna work out this way. There are anomalies to principles. What does that mean? Well, every once in a while, you can do the wise principle and still things get jacked up. Anybody out there? And so I'm helping you to understand that. Now, why does that matter? Why does that matter? When you hear the proverb that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from them. If you take that as a promise and not a principle, and you, like some of my own personal friends, raise your children in the ways of the Lord. Now, there's no perfect parent that ever lived under the sun. But there are many parents who invest in their children, teach them the word, make sure they're gathering as the church. They really invest in their children's spiritual development, if you will. And yet, some of those same children that were my friends growing up died in their far-off country. They never returned. They didn't walk with the Lord in their old age, right? So, y'all tracking? Everybody still locked in with me? So, if I teach that to you as a promise from God, and then you did it, and then your child did not return to the Lord, and your child died in their folly, in their far-off country, you would say that God was a liar. But God cannot lie. And so it's a principle, right? And what does that mean? Most of the time, if you raise your child to know him, that there's going to be a time they turn back to him, okay? But there are anomalies. There are those things that are sometimes, the exception to the rule, if you will. Okay, now is everybody all right? Some of y'all looking like, man, that just blew my mind. It's okay. You need to get comfortable with your Bible. And this is one more step of getting comfortable in your life with the Word of God. So that's not intimidating and you begin to understand it on a personal level. Is that all right? Everybody okay? Some of y'all going to be thinking about that all night and not going to hear a word I have to say. Stay with me, all right? And so tonight, what we're going to find is this is a proverb of Solomon. Now, you know Solomon as the wisest man that ever lived, right? And he was a man that asked God for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. But you look at his life and you say, man, it was a man who really lived a wise life. And so probably a man who knew wisdom and lived wisely finished the race well. But when you study Solomon's life, you'll find out that when he was an old man, he departed from the ways of the Lord and rejected God's promise to stay away from those wives that worshiped other gods. And because of that, he was led astray, you remember. And because of that, the kingdom was torn in two. And you didn't have just the children of Israel, but you had Judah and Israel divided. Y'all with me? Now, without going any deeper, you begin to understand the picture of what's going on. But here is some wisdom principles from Solomon, and God's delivered them to me and you. And I pray this, I pray you not leave out of here more wise. Okay, so without any further ado, thank you for standing in honor of reading God's word. Let's read verse 20 and on down through verse number 33. Now, let me just tell you what we're skipping over, because some of y'all is going to mess you up the whole time. And what it is, Solomon has told in the first several verses why he's written these wisdom writings. And it's to help the simple to be more than simple. It's to help the prudent to be more than just prudent. It's to help people understand about life and to make wise choices and benefit from those wise choices. Or understand that if we reject wisdom, there's going to also be reward, but the reward won't be the kind of reward we want. Okay? So he talks about that in the first part, why they should, or what it's written for. He talks about in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verses 8 and 9, he talks about that children should listen to their parents, right? And obey the wisdom of their parents. But let me say this to you. Sometimes parents teach wrong. Okay? Sometimes parents, as human beings, are not walking with God. And so what they teach is not right. And so I want to tell you again, these are principles and not promises. You're starting to see the difference, aren't you, now as you read along, okay? So, as he does that, he talks about in verses 10 and on down, he warns his son not to step one foot on the path of sinners, that when they entice him, when they lure him, when they say, come on, go with us, we want to go live our lives and do it to the fullest, don't go. Now, how many of you went? Anybody besides me? I've told you guys my testimony so many times. They knocked on my door that freshman year. I'd never smoked a cigarette, drank a beer at all. I never even, well, I got in a few fights, but you understand. But boy, they kept knocking. They come on, come on, come on, come on. And finally one night I'm in there studying. I was sick of studying and I was disappointed I wasn't in Division I school. And so you know what I did? I took a step on the pathway. And all it took was one step on the pathway and boy, things got dark quick. And so I want you to think about that. So that's what he's warned them in those verses. I'm moving right along. And so now he goes on to say the end of that little warning in verse 17, 18, 19, he says that if you do take that step and you do go with them down that path, just know that those people, when we are living that way, we are working against ourselves. He compares it to a fowler, someone in those days who was hunting birds. They would set up a net. And he said that he compares their life, the person who's rejecting the wisdom of God, that they're living a life where they're setting a net to catch people, but who they end up catching is themselves. And so have you ever looked at your life and because you ignored the wisdom of God, you the one person you worked against was yourself. I cost myself, listen to me, I cost myself many things over my lifetime because I rejected wisdom. And I pray that I'm not that guy anymore, okay? So moving right along, picking up now in verse number 20. You feel like you have a little bit of the first half? Okay, without going into a whole sermon? All right, good. Picking up in verse number 20, and we're going to read down to 33. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. Notice, as we read along, Solomon now personifies wisdom. He's going to speak now about this principle or this theme of life called wisdom as a person, as a lady, all right? Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gate in the city. She speaks her words, "How long, you simple ones, will you live in simplicity or will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke." This is still the words of her. Who is her? Wisdom. "Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you because I have called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity." Think about that. "I'll mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you," what does wisdom say she's going to do? Mock and laugh. Verse 28, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies." Whatever is good in your heart, go ahead and you'll get to enjoy the benefit of it. We say it this way sometimes in the South: play stupid games, win stupid prizes. "For the turning away of the simple will slay them." They turn away from wisdom, there's a death coming. "And the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." Let's pause for a word. Oh, I'm excited. Are you? It's about to get good. All right, let's pause for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that your spirit is able to take such a weak and beggarly vessel such as myself and use me for your glory. And I pray, God, that you do it again tonight and that, Lord, I might preach as a dying man to dying people because that is, in fact, who we are. Now, Lord, as this is my last, if it should be my last opportunity, I pray I'd make it count. And Lord, I can only do that, not if I try harder, but if I'll just simply yield now. And I pray in this moment, I'd be fully yielded to your spirit. Whatever you want to say to us now, say it, please, God. And Father, as you say it to us, give us the ears that listen and hear and understand. Now, Lord, not for the purpose of filling out a good notebook full of notes, but for the purpose of leaving out of here with wisdom. And for the lost soul, wisdom is being saved. And for the weary soul, wisdom is coming to the one who give us rest. And for the broken heart and the broken in spirit, Lord, wisdom is coming to the one who can lighten our burden. And Lord, we thank you that tonight that's Jesus. So Lord, please help us to listen. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, you may be seated. Now, what I want to begin with tonight is simply reminding you again the title. The title is Wisdom. And the main idea is, do you see it there on your notes? Can we read it out loud together? Living wisely has great benefits. Now, some of you are saying, well, I already knew that. Well, just hang on. Let's just look at it from a biblical context, all right? Living wisely has great benefits. Roman numeral 1 in your notes. We're going to cover verse 20 to 22. And here's what I want you to write in the blank. Wisdom pursues. Wisdom pursues. And I want you to think for just a minute about wisdom oftentimes seems like to someone who's maybe younger or maybe even finally got to the age where they really desire to be wise. It seems like some philosophy out there that you have to do a whole bunch of reading to attain, doesn't it? It seems like you need to study all kinds of cultures. It seems as if you should have to travel the world over and view many different cultures and many styles of living and many different religions and many different. And so the heart of man looks at wisdom and says it's something that's so far off and something that you have to make a major journey to get to. And yet what Solomon says about wisdom is that you're not chasing after wisdom. Wisdom's chasing after you. And it is because the heart of God, desiring for me and you to live with wisdom, she's like the lady on the corner saying to you, come on, come on, there's a different way to live. And so you and I can't find it in philosophy or philosophers. We can't find it in a textbook. And we can't find it even in experiential knowledge. But the kind of wisdom we're talking about is the wisdom that comes from God. And God will send it to you in all kinds of forms, won't he? So I want you to think about wisdom calling out. Let's talk about the pursuit of wisdom. Here's what happens in verse 20. Wisdom calls not silently, not hitting on some mountaintop where you have to swim a river and climb a mountain and finally get to the foot of some Dalai Lama that can give you some great wise statement about life, but instead, wisdom is not so far off. Matter of fact, wisdom calls not silently, but how? Aloud. There's no secret to what God is trying to share with me and you through people and through his word and by his spirit. And so he says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice. Does anything about this sound secretive? Or does anything about Solomon's explanation of wisdom sound like something you've got to really go on this long journey in secret places to find? No. She's calling out. She raises her voice where? In the open squares. Everyday life, where people find themselves. Verse 21, she cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates of the city. Boy, it sounds like wisdom is everywhere, doesn't it? And that is because God is everywhere. She speaks her words. And so I just wanted to point out to you in verse number 20 to 22 that wisdom, in fact, y'all help me, pursues. Now, I want you to think about tonight for just a moment how the wisdom of God has pursued you. I want you to think back to the first time that someone gave you some wisdom that lined up with the word of God and you rejected it. Can you think back? Mom and dad, maybe, right? Going back to little childhood and they told you not to do something and the word of God, you know, and people say, hey, I remember being a kid and hearing my papa say, now the Bible says you need to obey your parents. I remember thinking, whatever, old man, you know, I don't have to go by that. And so I was young. I don't know how young I was, but I was a young child. And I didn't have to go to school to learn that. And their wisdom was pursuing me at a young age, saying, hey, life will be better for you if you will do what your mom and dad say do. They're not trying to steal your fun. They're trying to keep you alive. and oftentimes I rejected it. So can we just settle on the truth that what Solomon is saying is wisdom does what? Pursue. So if we're unwise, it's not wisdom's fault. If we're unwise, it's not God's fault. If we live with a lack of wisdom, it squarely falls on our own shoulders, on us, okay? Roman numeral 2. Well, we're making good time now. Roman numeral 2. This is verse 23, and I want you to write this in the blank, all right? We said first, wisdom pursues, but secondly, wisdom encourages, okay? Wisdom encourages. Don't you like to be encouraged? I do like that word, encouraged. Wisdom encourages. What does wisdom encourage? Course corrections. Do you know what I mean when I say course corrections? I'm not talking about biology 1. Not that course, thank God. Or algebra 1. Thank God, I'm not talking about that one. But I'm talking about the course of life. In other words, if you would imagine yourself to be a ship and you were on a course, you're headed somewhere and you're headed in a specific direction. And maybe you think tonight that you're just sort of aimlessly floating about. Oh, no, friend, you're headed somewhere and you're headed with a purpose and you're headed with design and you're headed there. And so here's what he's saying. Sometimes we need wisdom to come and say, hey, you need to turn that steering wheel about two clicks to the left, because if you keep going that way, there's calamity and danger and difficulty and divorce and all kind of things ahead of you. Now let's look at what he says in verse number 23. So remember the words of wisdom in verse 22. How long? How long are you going to keep being simple? How long are you going to keep thinking you know the right answers? How long are you going to enjoy living in scorn? How long are you going to hate knowledge? And then in verse 23, the scripture says, wisdom says, turn. Do you see the picture here of someone on a ship and they're grabbing the steering wheel and they're making a turn? Why? Because the Titanic is headed for an iceberg. And wisdom says, turn. It's a warning. Turn. And oftentimes, think about how many times in your life and mine where we were even angered that anybody would dare try to tell us what to do. And many of us, like the captain of the Titanic who ignored the warnings of the iceberg. You may not know that, but if you'll study your history, you'll find out they had received warnings that there was an iceberg ahead and they just ignored them. And what'll happen is, and you and I have experienced, we'll run headlong into the iceberg and then wonder why in the world our ship is sinking. So wisdom encourages course correction. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Notice that wisdom doesn't want the ship to be sunk. Wisdom wants life to be good and for us to enjoy the fruits of what God wants us to experience in this life. So he says, turn to my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. And if you're not careful, you'll read that and you'll think that's God saying, I'm gonna pour my spirit out on you. Matter of fact, if you don't think context is king to studying your Bible, if you opened your Bible up, some people play scripture roulette in their Bible study. They don't study in order, like starting with chapter 1, verse 1 and read through. They'll just open their Bible up to a verse. Well, let's say you just opened your Bible up to this verse and you read verse 23. Turn at my rebuke, surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. Who would you think that was? You'd say, boy, God's saying if I'll turn, he'll pour his spirit out on me. Now, is that a truth? Yes, but that's not what's being taught here, right? Because who's speaking? Wisdom. Wisdom is speaking. And so we want, remember, context is king to biblical interpretation. So we've learned already that it's a lady. He's personified her as a lady, and she's speaking, and she's begging for us to take the wheel and turn it, stop heading in the direction that we're headed in, because there's going to be some very hard times ahead of us. But I'm telling you what, you and I can be so hard-headed. And God will send people, and we'll be offended. God will send a message, and we'll be offended. And we'll lock our arms on the steering wheel and we'll lock the coordinates in and we won't even consider turning. And then we hit the iceberg. And everybody on board, by the way, more than just the captain, goes down. And be reminded that whatever sin you and I continue in and we reject the wisdom of God, there'll be more people who are affected than just us. Now let's read a little further along. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. What is wisdom saying? What's she saying? She's saying, if you will apply wisdom, if you will hear what I'm saying, you're headed in the wrong direction. If you'll make a turn, I'll pour my spirit out on you. What does that mean in the context of wisdom? You'll be living wisely. I'll give you more wisdom. When you learn how to hear the voice of wisdom, you'll be living a wise life. And when you start applying wisdom, let me tell you something, things get good, don't they? Doesn't mean that they're going to be void of difficulty, but boy, I'm telling you, there are some wonderful things you learn when you start doing things the wise way. And so wisdom encourages course correction. Verse 23, surely I'll pour my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. It won't be hidden. You'll understand. You'll start going, I call them aha moments. Aha, that's what God meant by that. I'm glad I turned the steering wheel. Because this is good. What we're experiencing is good. Or on the other hand, oh, now I know what he was saying. Those aren't aha moments. Those are uh-oh moments. Uh-oh, now I realize what he was saying or trying to tell me. And I didn't turn. And here I am, okay? So wisdom encourages course correction. Now listen, maybe, I want to just say something to you tonight. Maybe God has sent somebody to tell you that there's some things in your life that need to change. And maybe this, you're here tonight, you're thinking, man, who in the world told Brother Terry that? So they must have called and told him, don't you come tell me unless you want me to know, because they didn't tell me. You're looking at me like I knew. I don't know, but he knows. And tonight, he loves you so much, he said, I'm going to bring you out in the middle of nowhere when you really wish you had your toes in the sand during spring break, and I'm going to bring you out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm going to sit you down and say, now listen, that person I sent to you that you're mad at, I sent them to help you, so you'll take the steering wheel and you'll make a turn. change is some of the hardest thing for me and you. But God has sent somebody into somebody in here's life. I don't know who you are. There's probably more than one if I'm just guessing. God has sent some people at your workplace, some people that love God, and they've said to you, listen, the way that you're headed is wrong. And I'm telling you, you're bullheaded like me, and you just blow them off. And you, listen, you won't even consider putting your hand on the steering wheel to turn it. And I'm telling you, if you don't, and I don't, if we don't, there is difficulty ahead. Let me move on if I can, all right? Number three in your notes there. Boy, I'm telling you, we're making great time tonight. This is going to cover verses 24 to 32. It's a little larger block of text, but notice that we're going to have a list of three things there, okay? And you'll understand they all fit in one category, but there's some specific details I want to show you. So first of all, Roman number three, wisdom rejected has great consequences. Did you know that? Wisdom rejected has great consequences. Can you think back to uh-oh moments? I mean, the very moment that you had your head in your hands and you said, oh, mercy, I knew better. I knew better. Boy, have you ever had this thought occur to you? They tried to tell me. We usually don't say that one out loud, do we? Huh? That's usually one of those little conversations we're having on the inside while we're in great pain and anguish. And the Lord didn't want us to experience it, but we chose our own route. And those moments in desperation and pain and anguish and misery, we say, oh, they tried to tell me. They tried to tell me. So there are three things I want to highlight here from this passage, if I can, from beginning in verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Now, what I want you to show you in this is there's the personification of wisdom. And wisdom says, I want to read verse 24 again, because I've called and you refuse. So what does the call look like? What does the phone call from wisdom look like? Sometimes it looks like your daddy saying to you, I told my daddy in 1998, I said, Dad, I'm going to sit out one semester and I'm going to just work this semester. My brain is fried. I don't want to go to school anymore right now. I'm going to take one semester and then I'm going to start right back. My daddy said, please don't. He said, if you do, you're not going to go back. It's going to be a long time. And I said, oh no, daddy, I'm, you know, 20 years old. I'm smart. 19 years old. I got this thing figured out and I know more than you do, daddy. And I'm going to go right back. I'm just going to miss one. And he said, please don't, right? Please don't, please don't, please don't. And I refused. I pushed, you know, when I went back to school in 2014. And so you're right now, you're thinking about your own testimony and that thing that daddy said to you. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine from Alabama just on the way from my house here, and he was talking about some things. And I said, man, your daddy ever tell you anything that you, he said, man, I figured out finally, daddy was right on a whole lot of things. And so wisdom rejected has great consequences here in verse 24, if you've refused. But listen, here's the other thing. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Now the word regarded there means to give attention to consider, okay? And so I want you to think about the times that wisdom reached out its hand to you and said, now, come on, I want to take you this way. And sometimes it looked like somebody who had fought alcohol and struggled with it and lost their family and gone through some very deep valleys. And they came to you as a teenager and said, don't drink, please don't drink. And it was the hand of wisdom coming to you saying, listen, there's a better way. Come on, go this way. It's a wise way to go. And we slapped the hand back, didn't we? Get your hand away from me. It reminds me of little toddlers when they learn how to walk. At first, they'll grip your hand so much you can't pry their little fingers off of yours. It always surprised me, as strong as my hands are, when my kids would grab onto that finger when they weren't really steady yet, and you're trying to make them walk on their own, and they wouldn't. They would not let go. And you're like, turn loose. I'm trying to get you loose. And you couldn't get them loose, man. They're hanging. And I'm like, I'm trying to get you to walk on your own. They wouldn't let go. But the moment they figured out they could, you couldn't hold their hand. Make them hold your hand before they cross the road. Pushing your hand back, like trying to grab a noodle, man. You're like, here. And sadly, you and I have lived our lives that way as wisdom has reached toward us and said, now listen, hold my hand so I can walk you across this road safely. And we say, get your hand away from me. Don't tell me what to do. I'm doing things my way. And mercy, we've cost ourselves some things, haven't we? We don't have to. And I wish somebody tonight unto God would just hear the loving voice of God say, you don't have to slap the hand that's trying to lead you to a better life. You don't have to. Many of us have, but you don't have to. Sometimes it looks like, and I can remember times when someone comes to share their testimony with the youth group. And they say to the youth group, oh, let me tell you about my testimony. I got involved with drugs and went to a party. Somebody invited me to do this. I tried it here. I thought it was going to be fun. And so I went ahead and tried it. And oh, man, then I ended up going to prison. This happened, that happened. And what a terrible journey it's been. But now God saved me. And then, and you know what? You remember what you thought as a youth, don't you? Well, I wish they'd hurry up and get through. Because we got a party to get through Friday night. And it was the hand of wisdom saying, come on, take my hand. You don't have to, you can be a young person and have wisdom. You can grab a hold of my hand and I'll lead you across the road safely. But just like a toddler, we said, get your hand away from us. We don't want to hear from your experience. We don't want to hear from your wisdom. We don't want to hear about how hard it was for you because I'm different. I'm different. Get your hand away from me. I'm different. I can make my own way. I'll be fine. I can manage it. Get your hand away. And boy, we've destroyed some things. Sometimes the hand looks like someone coming to you and saying, now you're not doing marriage the way God intended for it to be. And he's saying to you, ma'am, that you're trying to make all the calls and you're trying to lead your husband and you're trying to direct him and force your way on him. And feminism has told you that you should be the leader. And so God says to you, wisdom is that you would, yes, be a partner. You'd not be a silent partner, but that there's only one leader and God designed him to lead, not the tyrant, not the dictator, but you've got to follow his leadership. And you've said to God, take your hand. I'm not doing that. Get your hand. Lady, don't interfere with my life. I know you don't know my husband. You don't know what's going on. He don't deserve my respect. And so we slap the hand of wisdom. And I could turn that so many different ways to the husband, to the single person, to the business owner. I'm telling you, we all fit in that category, don't we? Somewhere we do. Now, let me just walk through this list of three really quickly. If wisdom, little number one under Roman numeral three, are y'all there with me? Well, we were all just sort of lost in our lives right there. Did y'all feel that? We were all thinking about, weren't we? We were all thinking about, golly, that's been me. Oh, yes, that's been me. Some of y'all saw it in your faces, oh, that's me right now. How do you know? And it's not he, but it's he. And it's because he loves you and he doesn't want you to drive your ship right into the iceberg. He didn't want you to do that. He's not trying to suck the fun out of your life. He's not trying to demean you as a woman or demean you as a man or a single person, take the fun all out of your life. He's trying to say, take my hand. I want to lead you across the road safely. You'll just take my hand. If rejected, little number one, if rejected, wisdom will mock us. Did you know that? Let me explain. I'm reading from verse number 26. Y'all there? So because you've disdained my counsel, 25, and would have none of my rebuke, right? Does that sound like you or me ever? Yes. I'm not listening to you. Verse 26, I will laugh. Come on, y'all help me. At your calamity. I'll mock when your terror comes. Can I illustrate this for you from my own life? Good. Here I go. December the 16th or the 18th, right around there. We're painting as part of a mission of Hickory Ridge. We're painting the ball fields at the school. And at this time, it's just me and Madison and Matthew, my daughter and son, one of my bonus sons, and we're painting. And she says to me, Dad, you need to make sure, stop climbing that ladder. You need to have somebody at the bottom of the ladder. Now, let me just make application. There was wisdom reaching out its hand. And I said, I got you. So we're going along. Later on, she called me. I was kind of climbing up a ladder a little bit, short ladder. She said, Dad, please. And I'm thinking to myself, I've been climbing ladders before you were born. Huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I've been climbing ladders. And I'm just smiling at her, but I'm thinking, I've been climbing ladders before you were born. And so she and Matthew go over on the other side, and she's standing at the bottom of the ladder while he's up the ladder, and I'm on another part of here by myself. And as soon as I get out of eyesight, because I'm so wise and smart, that I climb on up there. Now, when I fail, listen, when I fell, somebody asked me that, did you hear your bones snap? I said, no, I just hear the sound of my body crashing 15 feet down onto that ladder. I'm telling you right now, I get a little teared up. I get some type of feeling in me, you know, but here's what happened. When I hit the ground, the instant I hit the ground, I could hear her voice. Now, it wasn't Maddie mocking me, but what was wisdom doing? Mocking me. I could hear, she wasn't going, Dad, I told you in my head, but I heard her voice saying, if you'll just have somebody at the bottom of the ladder helping to hold on. And I'm laying there and I'm telling you, I'm trying to act tough because there's about five or six high school baseball players looking at me. And I'm trying to be tough and play it off. And yet in my head, I'm going, man, if you'd have just listened. If you just would have listened. And you've been there. And it hits you if you just would have listened. And so I pray unto God tonight, God has been saying something to you and he's been sending somebody to you. And if you will just listen, you'll avoid that. But if you don't, it'll mock you. You'll come back to this moment and you'll say, man, not only did God send people, but then he put a message on my pastor's heart on a Wednesday night in the middle of nowhere. And then he tried to sit me down one more time and say, don't go the way you're going, go this way. But if you reject it, it'll mock you. It will mock you and laugh at you. All right, number two, as we're walking right on through this thing. Number two, now, this is going to surprise you. It can be too late to apply wisdom. Did you know that? Let me look. How many of y'all believe that's true? Raise your hand. All right, how many believe it? No, I'm not going to do that. It can be too late to apply wisdom. Let me explain. Oh, let me complete the phrase, okay? It can be too late to apply wisdom, but God put this on my heart earlier this afternoon, but it's never too late to live wisely. Now, let me explain that. I'm going to read verse 27 to 29. Will you put your eyes there? 27, when your terror comes, one of my terrors was hearing that, I mean, my body crashed onto that and the instant pain in my ribs and my wrist. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, have you ever been there? Then you'll call on me, but I won't answer you. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Wisdom said to me through my daughter, don't climb the ladder unless you have somebody at the bottom to hold it steady. I rejected that wisdom, pushed the hand back that tried to help me, right? Now I'm laying on the ground, broken, literally, and it was too late for me now to apply what she told me to do. It's too late. You listen, there are decisions when you and I reject wisdom that we can never go back and undo. It's too late. It's too late. I was talking to someone not too long ago who had a child outside of wedlock, and the person said to me later on down the road in their 30s, their child is now around 15, 16 years old, and y'all were doing the math. We're like, wait a minute, that didn't work out. And listen to what the parent said. The parent said, you know what? I finally realized why God intends for us to have, as a married couple, children. And I said, tell me, because I just wanted to hear. And the person said, it's been so hard to do this by myself. And I just know if I would have prayed through the right person that honored God and we did this together, it would have been a shared load. Now, the person wasn't angry at God. The person wasn't, it wasn't a, I'm worse than, or I don't fit in, or I'm all woe is me. Because, man, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Somebody ought to amen right there. So the person who has a child out of wedlock is not any different than any of the rest of us, but it just was this particular person had learned that the reason that God had put up a design was not to steal the fun out of life. But the person said to me, I realize now he loves me so much, he wanted me to do it a different way. I said, bingo, there it is. That's who he is. That's who he is. That's why he sends wisdom our way. He loves us. Oh, that you and I would mature past the little childhood state to say, you're just trying to take the fun out of my life. And we get to the place where we say, good night, you love me so much. I want to do what you say do. I mean, obviously, you've already proven to me how much you love me. So you tell me go that way, I'm going that way. You tell me leave that alone, I'm leaving that alone. And so I'm thankful tonight that God sends wisdom. But it can be too late to apply wisdom. You know what that person said to me when I was talking about this? That person said, man, it was too late. It was too late. After we were pregnant, it's too late. I said, that's right. That's right. But aren't you glad that even in the too late moments when we've rejected wisdom, God's grace is sufficient? And he meets us there, not to say keep on sinning, but he meets us there to say, hey, in spite of your sin, if you'll turn to me, I will meet you there. Now, wisdom says there comes a moment you can't undo it. But God says, I'll meet you there even when you miss wisdom, and I'll help you through to the other side. My goodness, what a God we serve. You kidding me? People tell me all the time, hey, I'm going to meet with your preacher. Maybe he can convince me why I should walk with God and worship God. And I end up leaving out of there, and I'm telling him, listen, you sit down right here. I'm going to tell you, you tell me why I shouldn't. Because, man, he's loved me and helped me. And in all of my mess and my foolishness, he's brought good out of it all. He's a wonderful Savior. So it can be too late to apply wisdom. But now listen, remember the second part of the statement, but it's never too late to live wisely. When I'm laying on the ground, I couldn't unbreak my arm and climb back up the ladder or unclimb the ladder and undo it. I couldn't. But the next time I climb a ladder, come on, y'all, I can what? Live wisely. I couldn't apply wisdom to that specific situation. And that's why in your notes there, I put the word in parentheses. You see it? Situational. So in the situation, it can be too late to apply wisdom. I can't undo it. But now I can take from that situation and live wisely. Y'all are getting it. Live wisely. Now that's good, isn't it? That means I can learn from my mistakes. All right, Number three. This is verse, aren't we having fun? This is spring break, buddy. That's what I'm talking about. Verse 30 to verse 32. Wisdom rejected receives rewards. Now you say rewards, that's positive. Not always. It goes back to what I said a minute ago. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And I have. I've played some stupid games along the way. Now I'm probably preaching to people in here who never have. But I'm telling you right now, you're looking at an old boy that played some stupid games and I won some stupid prizes. I did. And so let me just sort of look, if I can, verses 30 to 32. Put your eyes there with me, all right? Oh, by the way, it says, because they hated knowledge. Now, that's what we're going to pick up. It can be too late. Verse 27, I didn't even read the scriptures. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes, verse 28, then you'll call on me and I won't answer because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, verse 30, they would have none of my counsel. And matter of fact, they despised my every rebuke. Didn't you sometimes just despise that somebody would correct your behavior? Especially when you were younger. Man, I'd hate for somebody to tell me what I was doing was wrong. He said, you despise. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. So if you play a stupid game, you're going to get a stupid prize. What he's saying is that you'll eat the fruit of your... That is an idiom. It's a figure of speech. You're going to eat of your own way. Here's some phrases that we say like that today. You'll have to eat crow, right? Or you reap what you sow. Or how about this one? My mom used to love to say this. You made your bed, lie in it. You made it, enjoy it, and lie in it. And so what he's saying is, if we reject wisdom, we will get what we chose. We chose the unwise way. Might have been fun for a little bit. Anybody honest enough to say yes? Okay. Might have been fun for a moment. But my, the rewards are difficult. They're difficult. Wisdom rejected receives rewards. And then finally, Roman numeral 4. I can't believe we're almost through. I want to read verse 32 and then I'll cover number 4. So he says, for the turning away of the simple will slay them. If you turn away from wisdom, there's bad things coming. Complacency of fools. In other words, if I'm okay with doing things foolishly, it's going to destroy me. Relationships, it's going to restore my health, my finance, it's going to destroy me. Now, verse 33, and this is where we'll land the plane. Wisdom applied also receives rewards. So rejected, it receives rewards, but they'll be negative. But applied also receives rewards. Listen to what he says. But whoever listens to me, y'all reading verse number 33 with me? But whoever listens to me will dwell safely. Now, remember what I'm telling you. This is not a promise from God. This is a principle. Why did I say that to you? If I told you that this was a promise from God and not a wisdom writing from Solomon, that yes, God says this is true, apply it to your life. Sometimes there's going to... So what happens when you go and apply wisdom to your life and then somebody robs you? You get carjacked. You'll say what? God's a liar. And you'd be way off. You couldn't be further from true and right. So whoever listens to me will dwell safely. In other words, in the situation of wisdom is going to help you, okay? Let me give you another illustration, if I could, and then I'm going to close. Let's say that I climb the ladder. Somebody's at the base of the ladder, but a real strong wind happens, or there's some faulty something in the ladder. I could still, you just got it. I could take all the precautions, and I could still fall, but it's going to be very unlikely. Does that make sense? It's going to be very unlikely for me to fall, okay? So he who listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. If I'm going the route that I know I'm supposed to go, if I'm heading in the direction God says for me to go, if I'm not and God sends somebody to turn, to help me make a turn, I can know that it's going to be better than if I choose to go my own way. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Let's bow our heads together. Let me say this to you with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Wisdom. You may be hearing, you're hearing about all this talk about wisdom, and living wisely has great benefits. We learned that. We learned also that living unwisely has great benefits. They're not benefits. They're rewards. They're the bad kind of rewards. They're consequences. They're calamity. They're difficulty. Oh, wow. How about that? Right in the invitation time, I couldn't see a thing. So maybe it is tonight that God's got you here, and his purpose is there's something going on in your life, and he's telling you to go a different direction, and he's sending people into your life to go a different direction, and you've been debating in your head what you're going to do. Is anybody out there? You've been thinking through what direction you're going to take. And God so lovingly, once again, has brought you to this place and said to you, listen to my voice, hear wisdom, and choose wisely. Because living wisely has great benefits. And that ought to settle it for you. Some of you right now, I'm telling you, it's almost scared you to death that God would have this message this particular night for you. God's saying, just listen to me. Listen to me. I'm trying to give you direction. Don't make it worse. Don't reject wisdom. Don't keep steering into the iceberg. Now listen, it's a great act of humility to say, you know what? I was wrong the way I was thinking. I was wrong the way that I was going. I was wrong. It takes great humility. But boy, you're talking about great freedom that comes on the other side. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you've never invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. And here's what wisdom really is. Wisdom is knowing that you're lost and separated from God. Now, the Spirit has to give you that wisdom. You can't see it on your own. And the Spirit draws and reveals that you're lost and separated from God, like all of us were. Everyone born under the sun, apart from the Lord Jesus, has fallen short of the glory of God. And yet God so loved the world that he did something about that. He sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. Here's what wisdom looks like. It looks like a sinner who does not deserve any measure of goodness by grace coming to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, believing that Jesus died for them and rose from the dead. And that belief leads to an action. That action is the action of surrender. I'm no longer worthy. I realize I'm no longer worthy to call the shots in my life. Matter of fact, I don't just need to steer different. I need to get out of the driver's seat. Somebody tonight, listen, God's calling. He's been nudging you. You've been thinking that I've been going to church. I have this head knowledge of God, but there's never been a time you've vacated the throne of your life and invited Jesus Christ to be Lord. And so I want to say to you, there's no better time than right now. And he is, listen to me when I say this, he is ready, willing, and able to save you. But he's a gentleman. He won't put you in a headlock. He won't force you to make a decision. He won't make you come to him. He'll simply draw you. He'll woo you. He'll knock on the door of your heart, if you would. He'll just simply send a message. And that feeling that you're feeling right now, that is the Spirit of God chasing you down. He wants you. He wants you. He desires you. I don't understand it, but he does. He loves you, and he wants you to experience his forgiveness that only Jesus offers. The purpose that only Jesus offers. The power that only the Holy Spirit of God provides. So, Father, I pray you take this time of response. And if someone here needs to be born again, I pray they do it right now in their seat. They would just say something like this: Lord Jesus, come in my life. I surrender. I don't want to be the boss of me anymore. My wisdom has cost me so much. Lord Jesus, would you come and be Lord of my life? You could say something like that if you meant it with all your heart, and he'll save you right where you're seated, right where you're riding down the road, right where you're sitting at your desk listening, right as you're listening to a podcast. He'll save you where you are and give you purpose. God, help us live wisely. I want to say that the altar is open. There are going to be them that are coming down to help me. Brother Jimmy and Miss Renee are coming to help me. Shane and Dawn are going to come and help me. As the Spirit draws and moves, you respond to what He's calling you to do, all right? Would you stand with me? And I'd like to pray. And then you come to the altar if you need to. You come find one of these ladies. You come find one of these ladies. Guys, you come find one of these men, one of us, and say, hey, would you pray for me? Or share what's on your heart. You can just say, pray for me, not to say a single thing. Or maybe you just come today and say, tonight I've been born again. And we'll celebrate with you. Father, would you take this time of response and move in mighty ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.